Would you please pray with me? Lord, we come before you this morning looking for a word, looking to hear from you in some way that would speak to us where we are today, where we are, Lord, in our lives, in our joy, in our pain, in our heart, in our lives. And so, God, we pray that you would speak to us today, that you would even use me, a sinner, to proclaim your perfect and good word, your truth. God, I thank you. We thank you for being with us always, leading us and going before us. Now lead us into your word today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So, when I was about 7 years old, I asked for a present for Christmas from my parents, and it was a Nintendo Entertainment System. Does anybody remember that? Nintendo 8-bit cartridge. You had to blow in them to make them work, you know, and plug them in. If you know what I'm talking about, you remember your kids or you or whoever doing that just to hope that it would work, right? And so I asked for this present because I would go over to my friend's house, and they would be playing, you know, Super Mario Brothers all day long, and I just wanted to play too, you know. I wanted to have that. So I asked them, hoping that I would get this present, but not exactly feeling like I would because, you know, it was expensive, very expensive. But then Christmas morning, I went downstairs and I opened all of my presents, those from Santa and those from my parents, and there it was. There it was in all of its perfect box dimensions, you know, with the pictures on the front and the little red and gray gun blaster thing on there for Duck Hunt too, and I just saw it. I was overjoyed. It was great, right? And so I played those games for as long as my parents let me. I mean, I played them for as long as they let me, which probably wasn't very long, but in my mind, it seems like I played forever. But anyway, I had it until I think it stopped working on me or until it was lost somehow. But for me, it was a great gift, you know. It just disappeared somehow. I didn't have to share it with anyone if I didn't want to. I had no brothers or sisters at the time. It was all mine, right? But I want to ask, is a gift that you can use for yourself, only for yourself, is that really a great gift? Is that really a great gift? In today's passage, the Apostle Paul, he wrote this letter to the Corinthian community of believers. Apparently, they had asked him about spiritual gifts. Perhaps they had argued over which gift was better, which gift was better than the other, or who was better than the other because of the gifts that they had. The Corinthians were all about that sort of thing, lifting themselves up over their brothers or sisters. But anyway, Paul writes this section to address the question of spiritual gifts among the community of believers in Corinth. Now, the spiritual gifts were and are freely given to those who believe in Christ and are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We know this from Scripture. The Holy Spirit distributes spiritual gifts to believers. We don't deserve them. We cannot earn them. But here's what's so great about them: that God gives them to each of us anyway. When we believe, when we're baptized into the community of believers, into the church. And so while these gifts are freely given and we don't earn them, they're given, they are different than my Nintendo Entertainment System, as great as that was, or your bike or whatever your best present probably was that you can think of, because spiritual gifts are not given only to you for you. They're not given just for you. See, we're each given spiritual gifts, and Paul goes through a list of gifts here from verses 8 through 10. Gifts include the message of wisdom, a message of knowledge, faith, the gift of faith, gifts of healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in tongues, and the interpretation of those tongues. And this is not an exhausted list of spiritual gifts, as there are other lists of gifts in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, and Romans chapter 12, verse 28. But here in this passage, we see Paul's list, one of Paul's lists of spiritual gifts that are given to believers. But what's important to note is that in receiving these gifts as Christians, that is, as followers of Christ, we're not to hold on to these gifts just for ourselves. We cannot sit around for hours admiring the box of our gifts, you know, if you will, or experiencing our spiritual gifts all by ourselves. We can't do that. That's not their purpose, you see. In verse 7 of this passage, Paul says, "To each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." Implying that these special gifts that are given to each of us are for the whole community, for everybody. And in verse 11, he ends the section that he wrote, "All these are the work, all these gifts are the work of the one and same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines." So then, when we're baptized, we're given spiritual gifts or gifts by the Holy Spirit that we are to share with others. No one gets all of the gifts for themselves. Everybody gets different gifts or a gift. Each gift, then, is given in the same Spirit for the common good of the community. For the community. The Corinthians, they seem to have been overly concerned with themselves individually. The I, the me, like I was with the Nintendo, right? I mean, could you imagine people in our society or even our churches being more concerned with the individuals, with our own well-being over that of the communities? Could you imagine that? No, of course not. We're not individualistic people, are we? But we are. We're like the Corinthians in this sense. Many times we compare ourselves to others, feeling as if we are better than them for some reason or another. We try to be unique, maybe to assert this more, not because we're genuinely unique in Christ as we are, but because we secretly hope of being admired by the other person. We act, we talk, we dress, all a certain way to set ourselves apart so that others like us. But what good does that really do when it's only done to seek recognition from others? This individuality, based on the text, based on everything, it's trumping the community in our culture and in our churches, and it's a problem. It's destroying us from within. Jesus tells his followers, for example, that there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend. He says that the greatest commandment is to love God with all of your heart, mind, and body, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And he also lived in a way that was sacrificial for all of us. He lived in a way that he died on the cross for all of us. He called us not to be selfish, but to be selfless. And so Corinth seems to have been like us in this regard, looking out for themselves. And so Paul in this passage is saying to the Corinthians and to us, stop worrying about and focusing on yourselves. Stop being so inwardly focused on yourself and what gift or gifts you might have, but focus on your brothers and sisters around you, your neighbors, the community is the body of Christ. So be a member. Be a member of that community. Be a part of the community of believers. This is what you have been gifted for. Not for yourself, but for your brothers and your sisters. Asking instead of who is better or who is more gifted, what are they facing? How can I help my brothers and sisters out in the Spirit? How can I bring life to the community and those around me? How has God tasked me, empowered me, and gifted me to help out my neighbor? These two are questions. These are questions that we should be asking ourselves. Because you see, if you've been baptized, if you believe in Christ, you've received the Holy Spirit, and you can rest assured that God is working in you, whether you feel it or not. And I know sometimes we don't feel it. I know sometimes we don't feel that God is working in us, or that God is with us, or all of those things. We feel very lonely sometimes, don't we? I know I do, and I know I'm not the only one. But God is with us. God is before us. God is leading us. And the only way that we could say that Christ is Lord is by the Holy Spirit. It says that in verse 3. It says that in verse 3 of this passage. And so what is God calling you to do for your brother next to you? Or your sister across the aisle? Because while we should not be focused on our individuality for the sake of individuality, God did gift each of us through the Holy Spirit uniquely for specific purposes and tasks for the community of believers that we belong to. God has given this community, Orem's United Methodist Church, all of the gifts that it needs to fulfill God's presence in the world and God's call for our lives and God's purpose for the church. To make Christ known in the world by proclaiming the good news in his life and his death and his resurrection to all the world. Not by touting our individuality, but by living, by working and loving our community so that when others see us out there, that they would know us as Jesus wanted us to be known. As he says in John chapter 13, verse 35, that they would know us, that we are Christians by our love. By our love. And so our spiritual gifts, they're freely given to us. They are unique to us, and every one of us has been tasked for a purpose. God, through the Holy Spirit, is working in each of us, but we have to be open to God's work in our lives and our community. Prayer is key to this. That's why we're going to be focusing on prayer. Prayer is powerful as our tagline for the year. God hears our prayers, but here's the part we always miss. Because we're just unloading all of our questions, all of our concerns on God all of the time. We have to listen, too. Sometimes with our ears, sometimes with our minds, but always with our hearts. Prayer is key. Prayer is key. And so we have to go where God is calling us to go, and we have to do what God is calling us to do. And this sometimes will simply be a feeling, and other times it might even be a voice. There are countless stories of people who have heard voices. I have never heard the voice of God myself, but I have heard many stories of people who have. But we will know when we hear it and when we feel it. We have to make the choice to go. This reminded me of the story of Saul's conversion in Acts chapter 9. If you're not familiar with the story of Saul, he was going to persecute the church. He was a Pharisee in the Jewish community in Jerusalem, and he was going to persecute those who followed the way, those who followed Jesus Christ. He was going out to arrest the believers. And so he was on his way to Damascus, And as he was going, he was hit by this bright light and he heard Jesus talk to him. He heard the Lord talk to him. And he had this profound conversation with Christ. It was perplexing to him. He couldn't see. He was blinded by this light of Christ. And so the people that he was on the trip with, they had to take him into Damascus. They had to take him into the town. They lead him in there. He was completely blind at this point. Meanwhile, while all this was happening, a man named Ananias, whom the Lord called to in a vision and spoke to Ananias, the Lord spoke to him. And he told him in this vision to go to a particular house on a particular street, and to ask for Saul of Tarsus when he got there. And then he was supposed to place his hands on Saul. To place his hands on Saul. Now to all of us, this sounds great. God's speaking to Ananias. Ananias is hearing God's words, the Lord, Jesus' words, right then and there. We think that's great. But Ananias was probably, he was scared. You can read the text, he was scared. It sounded like suicide to him. He was going to go, and this guy Saul, who he had heard all about, was going to arrest him and take him back to Jerusalem and persecute him, if not have him stoned. And so he pleaded with the Lord, but God spoke to him further, assuring him and telling him to go. And so he went. In verse 17 of Acts 9, he caught up with Saul, saying to him when he met him, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And then you can just see him putting his hands on him and praying for him. And the text says, immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and he was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. You see, Ananias, he was scared. But the Lord called him and he went. And because of that, Ananias was blessed by seeing his spiritual gift of healing being used for the healing of Saul of Tarsus. And for Saul coming to faith in the Lord. And Saul was blessed. And he became a man known as Paul, receiving the gifts of the Spirit, receiving them in his baptism. And then Paul, as we know, went on to write the scripture that we read today. And many more books and letters of the Bible. And helped make the church what it is. He heard the call. Ananias heard the call. Because he received his gifts in the Spirit. And so what I want to ask you today. Will you hear the call? Will I hear the call? Will we go even when we have fear of what lies ahead? Even when the legend of the person that we're to go and lay hands on has been persecuting us, has been hurting others? Will we go? Will we go even in that fear? Will you bless those whom God has called you to bless? Will you share the gifts that you have been graciously given with others? Because God has called you by name. The Holy Spirit is with you. The Lord leads you. And he goes before you too. To prepare a way. And so I urge us all. Use your gifts wisely. Like Ananias. Like Saul. Who became Paul. Because you never know what's going to happen. When you trust in and work in God's will. Like them, there might just be life where there was only death before. Amen.